Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and preach tonight. Got a chapter I want to preach on. And so give me a little time tonight. Amen. And amen. One fellow said, now if I preach past 12 o'clock, just stand up. That's what that guy said. I was at the Lutheran church too. That's surprising. Amen. And he said, stand up. If you have a man past 12 o'clock, you know. And he said that fella did, buddy, that old man. He stood up. That guy got past 12. He stood up. He said, you told me to stand up. You passed 12. Amen. Amen. Maybe he was got the backbone to do that, wouldn't he? Amen. That's one fella down there at that one meeting. This is a Baptist meeting. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, sit down. So God said, old preacher said that from the pew. He said, time to sit down. That's what he said. Amen. Look at Romans 14 tonight. I'm going to preach a few things here. Think might have helped you tonight in the scripture. And of course, Romans 14, Paul writing to the saints at Rome here. And when I look at this, I think about these things tonight. If you look at these texts tonight, the whole chapter of Romans 14, it deals with really a lot of different opinions about and preferences and things such as that and what men preferred. You got to remember now, when Paul wrote this under inspiration of God, amen, there was Jews and Gentiles, okay? Number one thing is you got to remember there's Jews and Gentiles. Number two, you got to remember this, the Jews were under law and the Gentiles had no law, really, if you look at it tonight. But the conscience that they knew and what they had heard, no doubt. But the Jews, amen, they were still battle with law. I mean, they was big on law. Moses taught the law, and these people that came out from the underneath that, because Christ is the end of righteousness for as far as the law to everyone that believeth. And so we're not made righteous by the law, and then we're not kept righteous by the law. The righteousness of Christ is a great thing, and it's what God used in me and you to bring us into this family of God. But when we read this chapter tonight, it's really speaking about two different people. Now, you got to remember this too. When you read these scriptures, not only are you talking about Jew and Gentile in this setting, you're talking about a law and they was under, but then you think about the culture of that day as well. And this, sometimes I'm just being honest, it takes a while to get some thought on the dealing with America now, where we're from. This is our culture of living. Amen. Compared to when Paul wrote this, the culture of that day and the Roman Empire and all the things that surrounded how them people lived, then they got saved. Amen. And this is what ends up, and it's really two kind of people here looking at two different ways. And he said, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And he's talking about a man that's weak, not as strong in the faith. I don't know how old he is in the faith, but he's saying here that we don't have opinions about this. It's something that he has to find out in his own heart. And when we start listening to the opinions of people about things that's not concrete, brethren, listen, it causes more division. And that's what Paul's trying to talk about, that we don't need this division. He's giving them instruction. Notice verse 2, for one believer that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And so he goes into this thing about eating, and we know that there was laws that the Jews had for eating in the book of Leviticus. And we also know that there was meat offered unto idols that a lot of the Jewish people, they looked at that as sinful is what they did. But he's saying, for one believer that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. So he's saying here, the man that's got this dietary law, he's the weaker man. That's what he's saying according to scripture here. Another who is weak eateth herbs. One believeth he may eateth all things. He's talking about whatever God sets before him, then he has that. Ain't God that privilege to eat whatever God sets. He said, the word of God, he said, receive with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And so it's not no limitations. The only limitations is what your conscience makes on what you eat. Amen. That's That's right. Some people, and we don't really have that problem in America. Amen. Especially the southern part of America. Thank God we just eat fried food most of the time. Amen. Hey, God, listen. We really ain't under nothing like that. I know people say, hey, you know, they try to, and I know the doctor puts us under some things, but the thing of it is, it's just a self-discipline thing more than anything. And I really don't have much of it. Amen. Just being honest. I've never been on a diet in my life. Amen. Even when I had heart surgery, I tried it for about a couple months, and I thought, this ain't going to work. Amen. So I justified it and said, I'm taking medication for it, so it'll be all right. Amen. That's the way it is. Amen. We just don't have these things. In this day, there was still a wrestling with this thing about meats and things like that. And listen, verse 4, he said, verse 3, he let him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God received him. He said, don't be judging one another about that. One man says he can, one man says he can't. And don't judge a man for that. God had received him. And so he's getting in this thing. And then he said in verse 4, he got pretty strong about it. He said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Well, who's the man? He's judged by another man. So listen, friend, we're not the judge. That's the problem. We've made this formality in our mind of how everybody ought to do. And if they don't do the way we think they ought to do, then we pass judgment on it. And what that does, it brings dissension or contention, amen, within a body of believers. And that's why he said over there in that one, receive, for God had received him. If he's in the faith, God's received this man. There's no need to get in all this stuff. Amen. And listen, I understand and know that we all have this situation in our life, problems, if I don't use that, that there's different things about how we look at things. Amen. But listen, he said this. He said, who art thou judge a mother man's servant to his own master? Notice that. He standeth or falleth. His own master, Christ, is the master. That's our own master. He's your master. I'm not your master. Amen. Christ is your master. Amen. And so he said he stands and falls to his own master. Amen. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. And so basically what it comes down to, he says, that's between him and God. It ain't between nobody else. Amen. There's so much judgment on different things that the Baptist, amen, or other Christian, amen, denominations have put this thing on and says, well, this is the way this man should be. And this is the, if he ain't like me, then he ain't right with God. And what that does, it develops, and I mean this, it develops a cultish mind, amen, that everybody's got to be just like me. Amen. Are just like us. We the only ones who got the truth. Hey, I got the truth, but brother, I'm not the only one got the truth. Amen. But I'm thankful God gave me truth. But listen, brother, that don't mean that we're the only ones with the truth. Thank God, that's just the way it is, friend. We can't say this, and the salvation of God and how God works things in does not make a man, amen, live in a formality, amen, or be in a certain awake. What kind of glory God gonna get out of if everybody acted the same way and lived the same outwardly way, and they said, well, look at that man there, he's got a white shirt on, well, that guy's got a blue shirt on, amen. Well, what if everybody just wore white, and what if I said, you know, I want all the men to wear white shirts? Well, that ain't none of my business what color shirt you wear. That's between you and God. Why should I judge that? I'm not see what I'm saying. These things has come down to Baptist Church, and we judge people on what we visibly see, and we say whether they right with God or right not right with God. What that is a lack of maturity. It's a lack of growth in grace, because we all have the same spirit that God leads us by the Holy Ghost, gives us understanding, amen, and makes it like that. Brother, listen, it's God that's my judge, amen. God's your judge. I'm not your judge, amen. That's right, brother, and we stand or fall, amen, to our own master, and he said he helps hold. He's able to make him stand. Verse 5, very important verse. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. About what? About what he's talking about. That every man should be. That word persuaded there, Brother Todd. It means to be assured in you. Amen. Amen. To have that conviction or that understanding from God that this is what I'm persuaded of. I'm a tay tonight, and I know a lot of people don't like it. I have people, thank God, not any of you, but there's people that try to refute me on it. Brother, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the same every day. He don't change. Sabbath was on Saturday, friend. Jesus fulfilled the law. Everything about him, he fulfilled the law. Amen. Everything's been fulfilled in him. Thank God, we don't have to go back to living like that. Nowhere in the scripture is anywhere in this Bible that God ever changed the Sabbath to the first day of the week. First day of the week's a resurrection day. It's when Christ resurrected. Thank God, that's why they met, because it was a resurrection day. Amen, brethren. Thank God, you're no more holy walking through them doors and you would walking in your house. Amen. We meet here as an assembly because we have decided as a body of believers, thank God, that the resurrected Christ, amen, his disciples, his followers come here to meet. Thank God, we've decided as a body of believers to meet on the first day of the week, on morning and evening, and then on Wednesday night. Amen. As a meeting to be edified and helped of God. But brethren, what if we want to do it tomorrow night? We're not bound to that. Nobody's bound to nothing but Christ. And listen, it was Constantine that changed that thing. If you go back, study, look at it, 321. He changed it, brethren. And he was a Roman emperor and the Catholic religion and all this stuff. And he's the one that made it, declared, Brother Danny, that this the Sabbath was going to be the first day of the week. Brother, we don't go by the Sabbath. They had so many laws on the Sabbath, you couldn't even keep them. Amen. They couldn't even travel but so far. It's all kind of things. But listen, it's bondage is what it is. I'm free in Christ, thank God. Why do I come? Because I want to. Why do I come? Because I'm part of the body. Amen. There ought to be more here tonight, but they don't see the importance of the body. I'm just saying, friend, it ain't about, thank God, the legal aspect of it, that I have to go. No. Yes, that's where the body of Christ is. Meeting tonight together in an assembly. Amen. You're as much the body when you leave, but when the body's together to strengthen it, and we strengthen one another, thank God, listen, and that's what God set up, amen. That's right, brother. I'm persuaded that I mean, he's the same in the morning as he will be, thank God, as he is now. I mean, why would I say, that's hypocrisy really to me, to say that, well, and I know people's got this mindset, that they actually think because they attend an assembly three times a week, that's the spirituality. It's not spirituality. Anybody can do it. But spirituality is living in Christ and living for Christ. I'm not in that bondage. Amen. I love being here. I missed y'all when I was gone a week. Amen. I mean, I went up there and went to church on Wednesday night. Amen. They had a good little meeting, and I preached for Brother Gray and had a good little meeting there. And amen. Didn't go nowhere on that night. Amen. Then come back, thank God, here. Amen. On Wednesday, and then I couldn't see none of you because everybody done got the COVID. Amen. A few of them had. Amen. Thank God they're doing better. And I come here and preach. Amen. I still want to preach. And my good friend back there, he come sing, amen. Amen, got him in the business now, amen. But anyway, thank God, it's a blessing. And then brother, that's just the way it is. I desire that. God put that in me when I got saved, to be around the people of God, to be edified, helped of God, to learn the Bible. I mean, when I got saved, I wanted to be around where the scripture was. But I'm persuaded in my mind tonight that, thank God, that friend, if a man esteems another day highlier than another, and that's up to him, let him be fully persuaded in that. But
listen, can I give you this tonight? It's not in a day. It's in a person. Everything's in Christ. I looked at my wife on the pen tonight, and I said, this thing, we're here tonight because of Christ and for Christ. It's all a person. It's not religious. Ain't God motions and things we go through. It's about him. Amen. There's nothing I can do in myself. Amen. But just believe him and walk in him, because I cannot be no more spiritual by what I do. I'm only spiritual by what he done in me. Amen. And that's the way it is. If you ever get a hold of that, you'll thank God you got a hold of it. Amen. All right. God, that's right, brother. Amen. Listen, verse number 6. Amen. He said, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He says all to the Lord. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. He says it's all to the Lord. Everything's to the Lord. What you do between you and the Lord. If you can get a bunch of people to believe that, thank God and say, listen, I'm accountable to my Lord. And brethren, if you get accountable to him the way you see this thing, amen. Listen, you're going to give account to him like I will. He's not a dealing with, thank God, seeing here. He's dealing with accountability. Amen. And our hearts toward him, that's where the victory's at. And when a man gets to sin, it's between him and the Lord. Thank God he's got a better relationship. Amen. Notice this verse 8 here. Verse 7. He said, for none of us live to himself. No man died to himself. So in other words, what he's saying here, no man lives to himself. He don't live on an island by himself. But here's what he's saying. I think he's saying you need to consider one another in these matters. Instead of disputing over whether I eat this or don't eat this or what day it is or what day I do this or what day you do this. And I think the thing of it is, if you really get a hold of this thing tonight, if you look at this setting and these people as he's preaching to or teaching here to, there's a bunch of people still in Judaism in their mind. Even though they've been delivered by Christ, they still having difficulties with that. Brother, listen, I'm 62 years old tonight. I've been saved since I was 24 years old. And finally, thank God, over the last several years, I've learned some things. Amen. That, listen, everything that I have in the spiritual ranks is because of one person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my performance. It's not how good I preach. It's not what I do. It's what he does. Everything is through and by him. He works in me and through me. It's not me tonight. It's him. That's the only blessing I have tonight. Amen. That's why when I get down to pray, I know who I'm talking to and who I'm talking through. And that's why he hears me. And thank God for it tonight. Brother, it's not going through religious motions. It's not trying to pull people to an altar or to get them to make some decision or some vow. It's, brother, more than that. It's hooked up to him tonight. Amen. Thank God, that's right. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. For whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. He said, whatever, we live or die, it's all about him. We live unto the Lord. Our life's unto the Lord. We're servants of his. Amen. That's right, Brother Danny. What is a disciple tonight? It's a Christ follower. It's somebody that, thank God, followed Jesus. And them, if they said them were disciples, they committed to following him. They were his. And they knew that. Remember, even Peter, thank God, when he cursed. And they said, that's one of them. And he denied it. But he could not get away from the fact that they had saw him with him. They had heard his speech with him. He said, your speech tells us you're his. Thank God, I've seen you with him. Amen. Listen, why? Because he was his follower. Even though he followed afar off, he still followed. And John was the only one I know of. Thank God, it went to the cross. Amen. To be there with the mother of Christ. Amen. Listen, brethren, anything about us tonight, we're the Lord's. Anything I do testifies. Thank God, I'm his. I mean, brother, even if I fail tonight, thank God I'm still his, because I live unto the Lord, I die unto the Lord, amen. That's right. Thank God if I leave this body tonight, thank God I'm dying unto the Lord. Amen, I'll be with him. He said everything about your life, even unto death, is about the Lord. That's what he said. Brother, you get down to this thing and really, you get really down to where we at. This thing ain't a religion. It's a salvation. Thank God it commits you to that person who saved you. I tell you, brother, thank God it'll commit you right to him. Amen. That saved you. Amen. Your committal is your commitment's not to me. Your commitment's not to thank God to religion. Your commitment is to the person of Christ. And that's where your commitment's to. Amen. That'll keep you going, Brother Danny. Amen. For the love of Christ, Paul said, constrains me. It's not me trying to impress you. It's not me saying, well, I got to do this because of the preacher. You're saying this. I'm doing this because of the one I'm committed to. I'm doing this because I'm his disciple. I'm his follower. And brother, I'm telling you, ever get into that? Amen. To God's son, you'll hook into it and you'll stay that way because he's got you on the other end. Amen. Verse 9, for this end Christ both died. Why? To be the Lord's. Christ died. He died to have you. He died, thank God, for sin once. And can I say this? He died for your sin. He took the punishment as you would take the punishment. He was the substitute. He died that he could have Todd Robinson. He died that he would have Todd Robinson. Not that he could have him, but that he would have him by the faith that he heard the word by and responded to the grace of God. And Jesus Christ gave it to him. For this end, Christ both died and rose. If he had not rose, I'd still yet be in my sin. Had he not rose, I'd be preaching in vain tonight. Had he not rose, he'd still be in the grave. The difference tonight, thank God, is he rose again. He got out of the grave by his own power. And that's where the victory's at tonight. Can I tell you this? The cross is where you get saved. The resurrection, thank God's where you get, thank God, complete life. Amen. Listen. Amen. You had to die, friend. Thank God to be saved. And deliverance come through the blood that he shed. But the resurrection, thank God, Brother Danny, gave life. It gave justification. The life we live now in the flesh, we live what? By the life of the Son of God, the living Lord. Thank God the resurrection. Lord, of the power of the Lord. That's where it's at tonight, glory to God. That's where your victory's at tonight. Thank God he died it, amen. That's why we live that way. Amen. He said, listen what he said here. He said, in revive that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. He's Lord over everybody. He's over the dead. He's Lord over dead and the living, brother. Amen. He's Lord. Son, you can't make him Lord. He already is Lord. That's one of the dumbest things I ever heard somebody say. Amen. They said, well, we got saved, but we didn't make him Lord. Later I said, you ain't never made him nothing. He is who he is, son. You ain't gonna make him nothing. He's on the throne tonight. He is who he is. He said, I am who I am. Amen. And I'm telling you this, that lordship salvation is the only salvation there is. I know people don't like it. Don't matter to me. I'm gonna preach exactly the way it is. When a man gets saved, he submits to the authority of the lordship of Christ. He becomes his authority. He becomes his superior. He becomes, thank God, his master and ruler. And brethren, if you ain't willing to come take him as that, you never will be saved because he won't. You can't get, thank God, one part of him. It's all of him or nothing, amen. Thank God I was preaching one night, amen, in Lexington, and this woman come to get saved. I didn't know what to tell her, but just trust him. Amen. The preacher got to her and he said, listen, he said, it's him all the way. You'll take him, all of him, or sink, amen. I said, that's a good way to put it because you have to take all of him for who he is, or you'll sink. Thank God, friend, I'm telling you tonight, I ain't trying to get no profession tonight. I'm trying to preach that God might open the eyes of somebody that's blind tonight, amen. God have mercy. Well, I got a lot of professions when I started in this thing. I had a little New Testament full of names, amen. Going out talking to people about God and told them they ought to pray. Amen, they'd pray, I'd write their name down. I mean, I didn't have no better sense than that, but I'll tell you what, I thank God that he gave me some sense about how this thing works. I got to thinking about wondering why I didn't get saved like that. Why? I think they could. Amen. It's between you and God when you get saved. You're the sinner and he's the Savior. I'm not. Notice verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? That's a good question. Why you judge your brother? But why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Amen. Why? Literally, the word "not" means despise. Why do you do that? Why do you dislike your brother because he ain't like the way you think he ought to be? This tears the Baptists up right here because, boy, there's enough judges in the Baptist church, son, they could have court for a long time. God have mercy. You said you ever judge more than what I'd like to have. Amen. Still have problems with it sometimes. And God let me see myself, and then I quit judging people, because I'm telling you, myself's a whole lot worse than the people I'm judging. Amen. You have to admit to that. If you ever see yourself the way God sees you, you can't judge nobody. You won't say nothing. Did you say, listen to me? Amen. You won't say nothing about nobody. If you ever get a hold of who you are in your own self, you ain't nothing. You're a sinner. You're a depraved. You're filthy and ungodly. And the only hope you got is the Son of God to represent you as a sinner. Amen. Listen, friend. Somebody said, I don't sin. I said, you're lying too. Amen. Ain't God, I'm telling you, they ain't no man without sin. He said, he that says he hath no sin deceive himself, and the truth's not in him. And brother, I'm telling this tonight. Listen, I say this, brother Todd. Amen. A man asked me this week. He said, if we're dead to sin, why don't we still do it? I said, in the eyes of God, we're dead to sin. In our position, but not in our practice. I know people don't like it, but it's just the God's truth. Some fellow told me, he said, you ought not preach your sin every day. I said, well, why wouldn't I? The Bible said, if you say without sin, you're deceiving yourself. I'll say this, we ought not go out to sin every day. We ought not live. You ever thought about this? He said, how shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I said, God forbid. Notice what he said here. You got to read the Bible. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin? Notice what it said. Live. Not commit. Live any longer therein. Most of your sins is inward anyway. How you think. Get them bad attitudes. Yeah, man, I do, buddy. Get aggravated. Think bad of them in my mind. Why they done that? Then I have to repent of it. If you save, you will. Got to deal with your heart. What if you don't? Well, you're gonna have to carry it around till you do. You don't shake sin under the rug. Here's the thing: sin don't take away sonship. Sin hinders your confidence toward God. You can't have a full confidence toward God harboring bitterness in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart. You can't do that. Here I'm preaching tonight, and I'll probably face it tomorrow. Somebody make me mad and can't forgive them for a little while, and then I know if I don't, God ain't gonna forgive me, because he said, don't even pray to me if you can't forgive your brother. How many times Peter said? Seven? He said, no, 70 times seven will do. Amen. 490? No, unlimited times, really. Amen. That's right. Forgiveness is a big thing in a Christian's life. Number one, he's going to have the forgiveness of the Lord. Number two, he's going to have to be willing to forgive other people. He wants the forgiveness of the Lord. Amen. It's like that man, thank God, amen, that got delivered from the prison, amen, or under the obligation to pay, and that man forgave him of it all, and then he went out and found a man that owed him, and he grabbed him by the throat. Amen. He wouldn't have the same compassion. And really what the story is saying is, you don't have the same compassion. That man didn't have the same compassion that other man had on him. And when he went out, he didn't have the compassion. And this is what it got to me. It's saying this. Well, God had all that compassion on you and delivered you and freed you from the debt you owed him. Thank God, why wouldn't you have the freedom, thank God, to have a forgiveness on the man that owed you? Kills a meeting, brother. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Amen. He's saying, now listen, let's get down to this thing. If you want to judge other people, everybody's going to give an account to God. We're going to give an account to him. He said that in verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now I want to say this. We're going to give an account in the context on how you treat your brother. We're going to give an account, Jonathan, in how we treat one another. How you treat your spouse, how you treat your people down there in the family of God. How you treat everybody. Listen, friend, can I give you this? Amen. Thank God the kindness of God ought to be manifested through us to each person that we come across. When Paul say to the Ephesians, he said, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another as Christ's sake has forgiven you. Notice verse number 13. Here's getting into some of this. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. See, it seems like they was doing it when he said don't do it anymore. Your mama used to say, don't do that no more. Paul said, don't do it anymore. Don't judge one another anymore. Listen what he said here. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, don't trip him up. Don't put something, that obstacle in front of him that's going to trip him up. Hey, God, you ought, and here's what he's saying, you ought to consider one another. Don't be a stumbling block, is what he's saying. Verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. You better get this. I know you can't take it, but it's real. I know and persuaded that the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. Listen to me. The uncleanness is in here. The object's not unclean unless you take it and do what you're going to do with it. You can take a hammer and hit a nail or hit a man with it. A man can take a bottle of wine and take a sip of it, thank God, for his stomach's sake, according to the scripture in the New Testament time. I'm not advocating it because there's other stuff. Ain't that right, brother? That's all we talk about that one time. Or a man can buy it just to get drunk on it. Really, if you look at it, it's any object you look at. You can take a radio or a TV. You can take a computer. You can look at the computer and listen to preaching. You can communicate with friends in a sensible way. Or you can be stupid. I hate to use that language, but I wanted to use it the other day. I was going to preach on having people over there in the book of Acts 8:19. They went in there and cried dying. It was great, and they didn't know what they was in there for. That's stupid. If I'm going in a building, thank God, protesting something, I don't know what I'm going for. The whole crowd was confused. Amen. But listen, I don't mean to get off on that, but the fact of it is, you can take anything and make it wrong if you want to. That's what he's saying. It's unclean. It's not unclean in itself, just in the object. Hey, man, I ain't got, listen, friend, I know people go to liquor stores. It's a bad place because people go in there, they ain't going in there to buy something, but they might get intoxicated, and that's their business. But listen, hey, man, it's not wise. And he said a man is deceived by it's not wise. And deceived by something and been misled by something is not wise. But when I drive by, I ain't stopping at it. It don't mean nothing to me. But if I stopped and went in it, then it becomes sin. Number one thing is, if you saw me going in there, you'd drop your teeth out. And you'd have to call somebody and say, I declare this, all the preacher going in the liquor store. God have mercy. You see what I'm saying? Riding by the store don't make it evil, but going in it and buying it makes it evil. Now, is it evil in general? Well, most of the time, I guess it is, because the thing of it is, ain't nobody on the battlefield. Amen. And we got anesthesia for that now. We don't need to. Ain't got like the Westerns, you know. My wife said, you know them Westerns ain't real. I said, I know it, but I still like to watch them. But really, in them days, before they had all that stuff, amen, I guess they could knock them out with a hammer. They had to have some anesthesia, amen, for some kind of surgery. And in the Bible, he says, he taught a man that's been wounded, you know, I mean, all that thing. But then people ain't going in that store for that. They going in that store, brother, to feel the effect of what they buy, and they going to drink it. They, you know, isn't it amazing how it used to be ABC and now it's called the spirits? You ever thought about that? We got spirits for sale. What is it? It's an evil spirit. Amen. That's why it's going to bring out an evil spirit. It ain't going to bring out a good spirit. It's going to bring out an evil spirit in you. Amen. And listen, thank God, I'm telling you this, brethren. Amen. You make it evil by what you do with something, and it's in your heart, and you can't. Listen, we deceive. We're not deceived. We, thank God, know already what we're doing. Most people know it with their eyes open. People just try to justify it. Well, my grandma told me it was all right once in a while. Stuff like that, you know. That don't mean nothing. Who's your grandma? Grandpa, it don't matter. Why is people so caught up in stuff like that? They used to tell me, they said, well, grandma's always went to that church. I said, what's that got to do with it? Don't mean nothing to me. I love my grandparents. My grandpa was a Baptist preacher, but I don't do it because he done it. He might be wrong. See, what I'm saying, people are so caught up in this tradition and ritual stuff, it's because somebody said or done it. That don't mean it's in gold. Only one I can go by is the Holy Ghost and what Jesus said. But he's saying, listen, let's get the verse here. He said, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him is unclean. He said, if that man, listen to what I'm about to tell you. If he said, if a man did, and I'm going back to culture now. If a man esteemed something that another man was doing, esteemed that if you was doing something that I didn't think you ought to do, but listen, man ought not do something if it's going to be a stumbling block. That's what he's really saying right there. I mean, if you come to my house and if I knew that it bothered you, then I'm not going to do it in front of you that because I would be a stumbling block because he esteems it unclean and I might not. Some people used to think it was a sin to read a newspaper on the first day of the week. I thought, you know what I mean? That's all right if they believe that. I wouldn't take them under their house if they believe that. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm trying to pull this out. I don't want to get in some deep waters here with a lot of different things, but I'm just saying that if I esteem something unclean and you esteem it and you don't look at it the same way, then you don't want to be a stumbling block to me. That's basically what he's saying. It's unclean in itself, but what a man does with it and what that man makes out of it is what it becomes to him in his life. That's why you can't pass judgment like that. But at the same time, we can't be a stumbling block, amen, in front of our brother. Notice verse 15. Let's go on. That's the best I can do on it. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest thou not charitably. In other words, if your brother's grieved with the meat, destroy not him, not him with the meat for whom Christ died. He said, don't destroy this man. This man believes it's a sin or wrong to eat the meat and don't eat it in front of him and destroy this man. Don't make his conscience weak. He's a new believer maybe and he thinks it's wrong and he thinks everything's wrong. I used to be like that. I thought everything was wrong. I was stricter than what the Bible was in some things. You know what? Listen, I'm going to give you this here. He said, Job was a man that feared him. He worked perfect and he eschewed evil. That's what he said. God still showed Job, allowed Job to see that he was a worm. You'll never attain. You can have all the convictions and thank God for convictions. I believe everybody ought to have some. That's between you and God what you have. Listen, but it'll never make you no better with God. It'll only make you better with yourself. God don't need no help making you better. He's already made you whole. He's give you grace to live by. Amen. If there's something that bothers you or bothers me, then the best thing to do is stay away from it the best we can. That's just the way it is. I've had people tell me, and here we go again. I'm not going to get off on all that stuff. There's too much in it. But the thing of it is, when it comes down to living for God, you've got to have God's approval and God's faith in men and what you're doing. And it ain't nobody else's business when it comes down to it. Basically, that's the way it is. Amen. If you won't go see the Atlanta Braves play, praise God, go watch them. If you've got confidence in your heart, what's wrong with it? Amen. Same crowd that preaches against stuff like that does something else. It ain't got nothing to do with it. It's just somebody want to rule over somebody because they're trying to push their own preference over on you. And what that does, listen to me, it robs you of your liberties. Bible said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That dealt with circumcision, but it can go a whole lot further than any kind of legalistic rule that somebody would try to put upon you to keep you. Ain't got under their thumb, under their hand. Amen. And it ain't no good. If you can't freely live for Christ and do what he wants in your life, you're under bondage. You can't enjoy it. Why in the world we live here? Listen, I can talk to you younger people. Ain't God, I'm 62. 22. I ain't got a whole lot longer compared to you, but why live in bondage? Why live in the fear of man? Thank God, live your life in Jesus. Enjoy it. Do what he alloweth in you and enjoy life, thank God, and keep it going. Amen. Notice this here. Verse 16, let then not your good be evil spoken of. In other words, don't go too far with it. Wasn't in the balance and everything. Notice verse 17. This is a new little twist on this thing for me after I studied today. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. This is what he's saying. The kingdom of God ain't what you drink or eat. You don't have to have it. If meat offends my brother, then don't eat it. Why he's around. If drink offends my brother, then don't drink it while he's around. For the kingdom of God's not built on that. Notice what he says. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said it's a spiritual thing. The kingdom of God's spiritual. It's righteousness imputed. It brings peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's where it's at. It ain't in whether I eat or drink it. Verse 18, for he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. He's saying that this here gets you acceptable to God and approved to men far as in your heart being right, because it is a spiritual thing. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith, notice here, one may edify another. Here's what he's saying. Follow after things, number one, that make for peace. Can I throw this in? I don't know if it's even within what the context is here. How many wants contention? Why in the world does people want to contend with you all the time and don't want to get along? It don't make no sense to me. I'd rather whole lot, praise God. He said, I'd rather let us sit at a table where there's peace with herbs and sit at a table with strife and a stalled ox. In other words, I'd rather eat a bunch of little old vegetables and have peace, thank God, and have a T-bone steak than a bunch of contention. Some people's just built for contention. Drama and everything else, I can't stand it. I mean, I actually despise it. I'm not a drama man. I'm not a real exaggerator. Just because I'm a pastor, not an evangelist. Amen. No, really, I'm honest. Why would somebody, listen, when you married, and I've been married a long time too, and thank God for my wife, I've had a good life. I laid in bed last night, and I said, you know, the Lord's favored me. I said, I had a good childhood, good teenage years. I wasn't saved, but enjoyed them. Then I got saved, met my wife, got saved. God called me to preach. He's been highly favorable to me. And I'm going to tell you what, I can honestly tell you this or not, there ain't one thing that I did to deserve it. Not one thing. And I'm being honest. I mean, I love my wife. I don't want to be contentious. Praise God. Why do I want to go to bed over an argument that means nothing? Why's houses full of contention and strife and all this stuff are going on all the time? And they have no peace. I mean, I just don't understand why, if you're a Christian, and I'm not saying we can't stumble up and have some disagreement or something said. I mean, it happens. It happens. If you're married, it happens. But it ought not be something that you live, and people ought not live under stress and live under all this mess. Amen. It's just pitiful. Amen. Brethren, listen. Stress will kill you. It'll kill you. Stress will kill you. Everything's stressful today because it's just the way the system's set up. The world system's a satanic system. God's system is if you want to use the word system or his ways, a way of peace. You go in a place and people's, all they are is contentious. I mean, they're just contentious. Sometimes people just want to try to start arguing me about the Bible. I'm glad, thank God, thank you, Lord. Amen. I took the high road on them things. Now, I used to debate and argue with people that I was red in the face. I talked to a guy one night for 4 hours on the telephone about how we don't fall from grace. And after I got off the phone, it's about 12 o'clock. My wife said, that didn't do one good thing. I had to agree with her, but I got off my chest. Didn't change a thing. Didn't change a thing. Paul did debate with some of them in some places, but brother, he was declaring the gospel to a lost people. It wasn't something that he was saying, amen, trying to prove his own point. You're never going to listen to what I'm about to tell you. You'll not help nobody that's not teachable. You can spend your time, and I've spent a lot of time on people in my life, and they ain't teachable. You can't teach them nothing. They won't listen to nothing. People that won't listen and it's not teachable, they're not going to learn nothing anyhow. Here's the thing, what Paul's saying. He's saying here, thank God, he said everything ought to be peaceful and it ought to be edified. The word edify means to build up, Brother Danny. I mean, I want to build you up in the faith through the Spirit and you the same way with me. That's why we meet, to edify one another. We're in the same family. We're doing this, going the same way. Amen. And we need to edify one another. Notice this, for me, destroy not the work of God. It can't destroy the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. If you eat with the wrong way, I mean, you're eating with offense. The offend. Boy, verse 21, son, look at this here. He, listen, I didn't write the Bible. God give it to Paul. He said, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. I put in my Bible, don't abuse liberty. Don't abuse your liberty. Don't abuse it. That means that we ought not do something offensive on purpose and cause a stumbling block to a weak brother or anybody that's made weak by what we do or say. That's what he's saying. When they get in arguments about meat and days and wine and all that, he's saying, this is what he's saying. He's saying, it ain't the kingdom of God anyhow. You're talking about things that ain't the kingdom of God. It's men's opinions and preferences. I thought the other day some things I said not long ago, and the Holy Spirit of God kicked me right in the head. I mean, popped me and said, you ought not have said that. And I said, I know it. I'm trying to get men out of bondage, not take it into them. You ought to feel as free in my presence, thank God. And feel like, hey, I'm your friend, and I'm a preacher of the gospel, and I'm your friend, and you can be who you are, and if you ain't who you are, you can't glorify God. And I ought to consider that in my life towards you. There's very few friends you find in this life. A friend, listen to me, he's not perfect, but he's not overjudgmental. A friend. If I come to you tonight or you come to me and say, I need to talk to you about something, and I said, and just talk to you about something, then you'd say, brother, we all have the same battles. I pass not judgment on your battle and your weakness. You know why the church is so stopped up? Because they can't be real. They so superficial that nobody can say, I'm having a problem. Why? There's too many judges in the church. Ain't that right? I mean, it's truly right. There's too many judges in the church. If a man got up and said, I've been having a battle with so-and-so, or I'm going through a difficult problem in my life, how many people sitting there thinking, wonder what it is? Instead of saying, Lord, I sure pray you'd help them because I need help myself. That's the way I look at it. I need help myself. But everybody, you see, we can't help people till we get help ourselves. Nobody needs it no more. Everybody's good. Everybody's all right. Amen. Nobody's ever talked. You don't never hear nobody ever say anything. Pray for me. I'm going through a battle in my life. I got a problem in my life. I need help on. I'm in the flesh. I need the touch of God. Amen. Because there's too many judges in the church that want to try to define what they are after they say that. It ain't no good. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't think we ever will. There's too much Phariseeism in churches. I was one. Somewhat. I judged everybody for what they wore, what they looked like, everything. What they did do, what they didn't do. Everything was based on the outward man, and it's no good. You can't read the heart of man. You can only see the fruit on the outside. Brother, I'm telling you what, thank God I got an old tree down there that looks rotten, but buddy, he'll put out some walnuts. If you'd look at it in the wintertime, you'd come by and say, why don't you cut that thing down? I said, it's bringing out some walnuts, you know what I mean? They always say we can judge a book. You can't judge a book by its cover. There's some truth to that. And then there's some truth that you can. Notice this here. I got to go. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. What about that? Have it to thyself before God. Do you have faith in what you're doing? Boy, I meant to hit that one verse. Well, here it is. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Happy is he. That's a verse right there, son. You say, how much liberty did that give me? Much as he alloweth. I'm not going to say this, but I am going to say it, and if you get upset, it's fine. I don't understand why that man's chewing tobacco. Because he alloweth him to. You can say what you want to about it. We can say, bless God, I think it's wrong. I think gossip's wrong. He don't allow that. I ain't advocating chewing tobacco. That's between you and God. I ain't advocating high caffeine. These power drinks, I don't drink them. My heart probably go crazy. But I've seen people do it, you know, buy an energy drink. Bless God, that man drinking all that caffeine. You know what you get when you... I'm just being honest, and I thank God y'all growed with me. You know what I'm saying? You grow with me. I mean, it's a wonder. You know what Maurice Massey told me? He said, Brother Hyde, he said, I love you. He said, but buddy, that other man before you kindly preached on sin some, he said, if he hadn't, I'd have think the whole church would have left. That's what he told me. I was so rough on everything. And you know what people would probably say coming? I mean, God saved people too. He saved people in that because I was as sincere as I could be from my heart. But you know what? You know what some people probably left and said? Dear God, can we do anything right? Do you think I ought to preach against sin? Sure I do when God touches my heart with it. But everything ain't a sin-killing message. I know people don't agree with that. It don't make a difference to me. I'm as free tonight, thank God. I'm just trying to be honest with you and try to be wise in what I say. But the thing of it is, if God allows it, you got a liberty if God allows it. If you want to sit there and watch Alabama play, you got liberty if God allows it. If you want to go shopping all day, you got liberty if God allows it. If you got the money. Some people just like to look at things. My grandma was like that. She looked at everything in the store. It aggravated me as a kid. My mama would take us out there, and I thought, goodness, we're going to be here all day. Her and Nanny went through every doodad there was. And then they'd finally buy a little bird or something made out of ceramic and put it in their house. I'm thinking it took all day to get a cardinal. God have mercy. Amen. Man, it's bad about it, son. We going to Rapers today. I said, oh my goodness, here we go. We're going to be, me and Rusty, we're going to get in trouble because we're going to act crazy in there. Fight one another and spit and everything else. Amen. You know what? If God allows it, and it ain't against his word, and you ain't got a verse against it, then you got liberty if he allows it in your life. He might allow it in your life and not in mine. Listen, I'm not running a factory spitting everybody out to be the same. That's God's business and how he conforms you, who he wants you to be. This ain't assembly line Christianity, friend. It don't work like that. Everybody goes by the way God does it in their life. He might deal with you. Sanctification in one way is progressive. God takes things out as he goes along. And then God might give you more liberty as he goes along. The older you get and the liberty God gives. And brother, listen, everything's not a sin. I mean, everything people say that's a sin is not a sin. I mean, you can preach against anything. There's some things that are sin to me that God says is a sin I'm not going to do. I might preach against them sometimes. And if you're doing it, thank God if he convicts you, quit it. If you get up here and testify about something God told you to quit and I'm doing it, thank God if he says you ought not do it, thank God, quit it. That's between you and God. It ain't between you and me. This message ain't between me and you. It's between you and God. What a man teaches, preaches anywhere, it's between you and God. It's the Lord. He's your judge. Notice this. If we ever could get here in this thing, brother, and I'm telling you, churches would get along better and they'd see, praise God, we ain't here to judge you. Somebody said, you think that woman had too much makeup on? I said, I don't know. If she done it to show herself, it's wrong, but I can't judge her motive. Moderation's the key in anything. Ain't nothing wrong with makeup. Somebody preach against it, it's crazy to me, because there's nothing wrong with it unless they're doing it to allure somebody. That's their motive they need to get checked up on. Verse 23, and I'm through. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This is what he's saying right there. When your judge allows you or gives you the liberty to live in that liberty of God, then we live by faith in what he's told us. I asked the fellow this. This blessed my heart. I said, what did Jesus mean when he said, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth? We was talking about it. I said, we didn't have a Bible then. They didn't have a Bible, Brother Todd. What did that mean? He said, he's talking about what he just said about them. Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. What word? Word he spake about them. We're sanctified through the word he spoke about us and spoke to us. Look at the John 17's prayer. Thou hast given them to me. That's the truth. We're sanctified through that truth that we're his. And we're to live by faith to our master. It's a blessing. Brother, listen, you ought to have liberty in Christ. You ought not be bond. Nobody ought to live a Christian life unhappy. You ought not never live a Christian life unhappy. There'll be times that that we go through hardships. There'll be times that we're not as happy as we want to be. But I'm telling you what, we ought to live happy. We ought to. We ought to really be happy. And I think a lot of that, Brother Danny, is determined by our own heart toward our master and what he alloweth. And enjoy it. I'm not trying to stretch the boundaries. But I'm just saying this. Praise God. If he blesses you and gives it to you, amen. Ain't God then do what he says and be blessed of God and don't judge everybody that don't do just the way you do. That's foolish. I've done it. I still do it some. If they don't, pray for them and go on. Don't let them disturb you and you get in a bitter spirit because they didn't do what you thought they ought to do. You can't control them anyway and ain't got nothing to do with you. May the Lord add his blessing to it, the best I could do on it. Hopefully next time maybe it'll be a little bit better. Amen. I appreciate you. God bless you. Let's stand tonight. Brother Hip, pray for us tonight.